How do you prepare for the greatest event in human history? Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, Senior Pastor of Fraser Church here in Montgomery, Alabama, and I'm excited to welcome you to Fraser 365. In this study, we're asking what it looks like to truly and thoroughly prepare ourselves for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is our hope that you come to a deeper knowledge of the gospel as we're challenged and encouraged in the days to come.
Welcome to Day 1 of Preparation for the Resurrection. Today's title is Ash Wednesday. Todd Stocker once said, "When shame overwhelms us, grace still surrounds us." Our text today is Joel 2, verses 1 and 2. "Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Like blackness there is spread upon the mountains a great and powerful people. Their like has never been before, nor will be again after them, through the years of all generations." Today is the first day of our spiritual journey towards resurrection. This season of Lent begins with Ash Wednesday. The use of ashes in spiritual practices can be traced back to biblical times. Observe how, in the following Old Testament scriptures, ashes were associated with humility, mourning, and repentance. Esther 4:3, "And in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was a great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes." Job 42, 5-6, "I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Jonah 3:6, "The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat in ashes." Therefore, ashes symbolized humbling oneself to the point of mourning over your sins, resulting in a turning back to the Lord. By the 4th century, Christians were observing this season before Easter, and using ashes was prominent during this period. By the 5th century, Ash Wednesday was observed in the Western Church as a specific start to Lent. While the Council of Nicaea did not specifically name Ash Wednesday, they supported it by formalizing a liturgical calendar and establishing the practice of Lent. Since that time, Ash Wednesday has been celebrated by many Christians. Some believers have gone to great lengths in their observance of this special day, even saving the palms from the previous year's celebration of Palm Sunday to obtain their ashes. Now that we have a historical account of Ash Wednesday, we can garner a greater understanding of the humility and repentance needed to start this season of Lent. That is precisely why many fast through Lent, so they can remove any hindrance from sincere humility and focus solely on hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Our verses today from Joel serve as a call to repentance and sound the alarm that awakens us to God's pending judgment. The urgency found in Joel's message resonates with the goal of Ash Wednesday and encourages us to examine our lives and seek Jesus. Joel 2:2 references a day of darkness and gloom, and a day of clouds and thick darkness. This imagery symbolizes the way we should feel about our sins. Ash Wednesday calls for us to see our sins the same way God sees them. Our sins should be viewed as a serious offense against God. Father Thomas Merton highlights the spiritual significance of Ash Wednesday through the following statements. "Ash Wednesday is full of joy. The source of all sorrow is the illusion that of ourselves we are anything but dust." Merton's remarks remind us that acknowledging our sinful condition can lead to a genuine repentance, resulting in profound joy. In humility, we remember that we are but dust, which can lead us to a greater dependence on God. Here are some questions to consider today. Joel 2:1 shares the blowing of a trumpet. In what ways can Ash Wednesday sound the alarm in your life to humble yourself and pray towards repentance? How can viewing your sins from the same perspective that God sees them lead you to mourning over your sins? Why are humility and mourning key predecessors to genuine repentance? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.